There we go. Talk now?
Hello?
Hello, I can hear you good.
Yay, and I'm recording you.
Wonderful.
Good. I guess a drunken Danner is on the way.
Eight beers.
I had one and I was done. I had pizza as well.
Pizza sounds good. I haven't had that in a couple days.
I thought about having one while we record, but I figure one belligerent person's enough.
So what's the you seemed really excited to record this. What's the plan?
Well, I was going to find the moment to look up games from 1994 and games from 2004. Because I bought a Wii U and then I bought Super Metroid on the Virtual Console. And I realized that game came out in 94.
Love that
And then I
game.
realized that Metroid Prime 2 came out in 2004.
Love that game.
So I was thinking maybe we could just, there was that, and then basically just what we've been doing, because 16 days ago, we got a hit on episode number 46 asking when we were going to record another one.
Lovely.
And then I kind of realized that Danner and I text each other a lot, and lately it sounded like I've been like sniping at him and taking pot shots. And I think that's because he and I haven't really interacted outside of like text in a long time. So I thought conversation might help alleviate some of that tension.
The way you two sound when we podcast, probably not.
Well,
Unless
but
it's, I
still,
can't tell. Is it all in good fun? Do you realize?
yes.
I hope so.
But see, that comes across in a verbally, but when you're
The tone of voice is lost on
on
text.
text, yes.
I always assume that that's what happens. I never get
I
offended.
assume it too, but at the same time, I kind of infer either like my feelings at the particular moment can dilute what someone says to me. So like if I'm pissed and someone says something pissy, I might think they're pissed at me.
I don't get pissed at anybody.
Let's see. Notable releases for 1994. Point Blank, Sonic the Hedgehog 3, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Super Metroid, let's see. Oh, Final Fantasy 6. So this is pretty much the year that video games died. Mortal Kombat 2, Killer Instinct, Warcraft, the first Warcraft, Donkey Kong Country,
Hey, I'm playing that on Game Boy Advance right now.
Marathon.
Oh my gosh, that's the thing that eventually turned into Halo.
Yep. Daytona, USA. The 32X. The Super Game Boy adapter.
Wow, 94?
Yeah, the PlayStation released in December 3rd.
I'd love to go back and watch the conferences at E3 that year
For the PlayStation?
for everything.
I watched the right before they released the they did their press thing for the PlayStation 4. I rewatched Sony's E3 unveiling of the PlayStation 3. Like night and day difference in the press conferences. Night and day. Let's see.
Well, they learned a lot. I bet Microsoft's
Notice.
conference next time will actually be good.
Well, they did all games this year, which made people happy.
Yeah, I mean, I mean next console launch.
Let's see. In 2004, there was Fallout, Brotherhood of Steel, Metroid Fusion,
That's a
Ninja
great game.
Gaiden, well, no, sorry, Metroid Zero Mission.
That even better game.
Yep. Well, it's a remake of the first one, so
There were when there were times or when I worked at GameStop, my sched I was scheduled for 4 o'clock, and I would come in at noon and I'd play the Game Boy demo of Metroid Zero Mission, and I would beat it before I had to go to work every time.
I'm really enjoying playing Super Metroid because when I originally played it in 94, you know, I rented it from the video store. I never owned the game. So I always tried to make sure I either rented the same copy by just keeping it out, or I would always play off of somebody else's saves. Like I never deleted a save and started over. I always load up a save and try and finish whatever somebody else had already done. So I've actually beaten Super Metroid, but never like on my own. So
It's such a great game.
this is kind of fun to actually go through and, you know, play it myself. I'm amazed at how much easier it is playing it now than when I was a kid.
I wonder if I would, if I could erase my memory about where things are and how things work, if I would find it as easy.
Like, I don't know. It's just, do you remember the little like spore bobby head thing? Yeah, that thing used to give me such horrible pains as a child. Yet I beat it my first time, you know, yesterday. Like first time out. Kraid? Yeah, beat him my first time out. Never did that in the in 1994. Like I'm just amazed at how much easier it is. Plus, the really cool thing about the one of the neat things and one of the dumb things is they remap the buttons.
Oh God, I Nintendo is terrible for that.
And I can't figure out why. And now I can't map. I can't. They give you the option to remap them, but I can't get myself back to the start screen for the game
Oh,
because.
because it does the save state kind of thing.
Yes. So I can't get back to like game A, game B, game C. Like I can't get back to that to change my things. So when I was playing it, I didn't realize that you could actually run, like run. And yeah, I had to look it up today about this because I was having trouble figuring out like I know what all the doors, I know what you need for all the doors. And I was trying to figure out how you open up the orange doors. Some people call them yellow, they look orange to me. And so I'm like doing the whole Metroid thing where I'm scouring and I'm like, I can see the map where I've been and I'm trying to get to all the places I haven't been. I came across this one room that you open up one of those, the one-way gates, and then you go in the next room and you touch a tile and the floor falls away. And I'm like, I can't figure out how to get past this. So I ended up dying to, and I couldn't go back because the gate wouldn't go up because the one-way gate. I'm like, they can't possibly put you in a room with no way out. I mean, I know they did that in Metroid Prime, but I was like, they wouldn't really do that, would they? And I ended up dying, and it reset me to the last time I had saved. Because even though there's save states, if you don't use them, it only creates a save state whenever you save. And all of a sudden, I had lost like everything I had gotten from that save to where I was, so I had to go beat. So I was like, okay, I'm done for tonight. So when I did it today, I'm scouring around, looking all over the place, cannot figure it out. So I'm like, all of a sudden, I just was like, how do I open the orange doors? And I know I need the super bomb, but I can't, I don't know where to get them. And I've already covered all the map that I can possibly cover, except for that one room that I can't figure out how to get past. Well, lo and behold, there's a run button, but because the buttons are remapped, I never even knew that it existed. And yeah, so then I hit the run button and I was able to run over those falling blocks and made it to the other side and so on and so forth. Now I have the Varia suit and I just got the speed boots.
Those are fun.
So I haven't gotten the super bombs yet though, so I'm hoping those are around the corner.
I wonder if you get, I mean, does it still have the save stations where you go in, it makes the noise, and then it
Yep.
saves it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And it creates a save state every time you do that.
Okay, I don't know how the save states work, but if it's saving in the game and then you hit the home button and do a reset, it might take you to the beginning of the game again where you get to pick your save file and can different change the button layout.
So on the Super Nintendo controller, is it YXBA?
Let me go grab one.
Yes, please. That's what I wanted to ask you,
And
because
I'm also going to grab a what do they call it? The gaming controller, the Wii plug it into the bottom gaming controller. I'll be right back. Okay, I feel like this part should be part of the record because I just had a big gripe about this the other day.
Yeah, I'll keep it in. It's been kind of interesting.
The YX, okay, I'm holding the Super Nintendo controller in my hand. The, how to describe this? At 12 o'clock is X. At 9 o'clock is Y. 6 is B. 3 is A.
Yeah, my
Now,
the Wii controller is the same way.
yeah, and I'm looking at that and it is the same way, but you know what they did? When I play Mario Brothers, Super Mario World with Yoshi in it, Y is the run button, B is the jump button. And that's because it's the natural curve that my thumb makes, that 45-degree slant.
Yeah.
So I can hold Y and run and then rock my thumb down to hit the B button to do the jump. When I played Mario Brothers with the classic controller, that's what they call it, with the classic controller on Wii, they like B is the run button, A is the jump button, but those are going uphill. You know, B to A is an uphill slant. So to put your thumb on it and be able to rock your thumb down to hit the A button, the jump, you've got to hold it at this unnatural position. And to think that Nintendo didn't see that coming and let you either remap the controller for each game or just let it be Y for run and B for jump. You know, I mean, just to keep it traditional and let you use B and A to run and jump, that just seems
Well, yeah,
ignorant.
because Metroid on the Wii U, I mean, is X for shoot, A for jump, and then B is dash. So,
That's
like,
like upside down.
yes. And I noticed that when I was like, someone, one of the, you know, I like I said, I looked at, what did I do? I looked at a guide, and that's how I figured out about the dash. Like, I looked at it enough to figure out there was a dash, and I looked at the button layout because they're like, here's what the buttons do. I'm like, dash? What? And then I was kind of like, and they're like, dash is A? No, it's not. That, like, A is jump in my game. And then I'm like, wait, I want to be able to remap the controls. And I can't. And it's really awkward
I
because
vaguely remember a remapping thing in the beginning of the Super Nintendo game and
there
the
is.
options,
There
but
is.
I don't
You know
remember
what I
it,
should
yeah.
do while we're doing this? I should turn my I'll turn my I have the Wiimote or the Wii U. You play the games on the Wii U pad, so they look gorgeous. I don't know if they'll play on my TV. I haven't checked that out yet. I bought Mario Kart 8, which is gorgeous, just on the Wii U pad. I haven't played it on my TV yet. I also Mario Kart 8 came with a free copy of like a Nintendo game, and it was either I could either get Super Mario Land 3 or Super Mario 3D World, 3D Land World, whatever. Wind Waker or Pikmin 3. So I opted for Pikmin 3
I'd have probably done Pikmin 3. It'd have been a tough thing between Mario and that.
because and then I also turned around and bought Link to the Past on Virtual Console.
Cool.
Because I haven't played that, and I thought that I would.
That's one of the best Legend of Zelda games.
See, I decided one of the reasons I went and snagged a Wii U again is because one, okay, suspend point.
Somebody's going to make fun of you for buying another Wii U. Just, I'll give you,
Yeah,
I'm sure you know that.
someone's gonna have to listen for them to make fun of me. Okay, let's see here. If I close the software, nope, there is no reset button.
If you start playing another game, will it save the save state?
Yes, it does, because it's saved awkwardly. Controller set, and there is like a reset. Create a restore point for your in-game progress and save data now. Yes? What does that do?
I think that's going to do what you don't want it to do.
Let's see here. Oh. Now, see, I can remap the control, the buttons myself, but then I have to remember what they do on their own. Like, I would need to see an instruction manual to be able to map these. Like, if I know, which I guess wouldn't be so bad. The other thing is, like, weapon switching, I guess, was select on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, I remember that.
And
tick, 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 tick. I remember that sound.
Yeah, it's going to be really annoying when you're trying to do things really fast because of the way the buttons are laid out on the Wii U. There's reset to default. But that doesn't do shit.
Yeah, I do. I want a lot of things. Don't need any of them, but I want a Wii U.
I bought it because I got a refurbished one, actually.
I was thinking of doing that, $200 off the Nintendo website.
And you know what? The damn thing does not look refurbished at all.
They never do, not from Nintendo.
Well, I was a little weary because they said, you know, when you're ordering it, it says it's just like a brand new system, although it may have minor defects. Oh, stop it.
Not from Nintendo, it won't.
Well, but they said that it on their own website. It says it's just like a new one, but it may have minor defects. And I was like, what?
They're just saying that to cover their butts. So, those things are going to be beautiful.
Well, I went ahead and ordered it anyways because I was like, you know, I'm just going to throw it under my TV and you're never going to see it again. But when it arrived, I was like, let me, I'll just, you know, open it carefully and inspect it as I open it. And it's perfect. The only thing it doesn't come with is like the feet to put the thing on its side.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing it doesn't come with that a full... Oh, that and the charging dock for the Wii U controller.
Dollars to Donuts says if you really need those things, if you go to GameStop, they probably don't buy those back. And you can say, hey, next time one comes in, can you put it aside for me? And you can get it for free. Or maybe they'll charge you the $4.99 that they might charge for that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about it. I'm just saying it doesn't come with that stuff, whereas like the full $300 one does. The other thing I was kind of bummed about is when I ordered it on Friday, and when I got into work on Saturday, I was like, you know, because I had used Booth Ninja 81 on my first Wii U, and that, so I can no longer use that name ever again on a Nintendo system.
Yeah, I hate that.
But I called them and I spoke with a lady. She was really nice, and I said, hey, listen, you know, this is what happened. I don't have the system anymore. I sold it, but I bought another one. I would like to do a system transfer for the name and everything. And she was really helpful. Tracked down the serial number for my original Wii U. And she said that she was making notes and documenting everything. And she gave me a tracking number. And all I'd have to do was call in with the serial number for my new Wii U when I got it. And I was like, oh, great. Thank you. Which she told me I'd be able to take my name. But luckily, I didn't buy anything.
Mm-hmm.
Under the old one, but that's besides
the point. Way to go, Nintendo.
She told me I was going to be able to bring my name over with me. Well, Wii U arrived yesterday, and I called Nintendo, and I said, hey, here's my track number, and the guy basically had to ask me all the same questions all over again because he couldn't find the notes that the other lady had made.
Oh.
And then he turns around and says, oh, well, your name doesn't transfer. Just anything you purchased would transfer. And I was like, well, that's not what the lady told me on Saturday. That was the whole point of this entire conversation. And then, of course, while I'm midway through it, my phone drops its connection. So it sounds like I hung up on the guy. So I didn't bother to call back. I was like, you know what? It's way easier for me just to come up with a new name than to fight with this all over again. So I made a Booth Tendo. And it wasn't taken, so it's just Booth Tendo. I didn't have to put any numbers or anything. So that was pleasant.
When I get a Wii U, I'll have to call it Joe Tendo just to match it up, and our Mario Kart versus modes will look choreographed.
Mario Kart, like this, Mario Kart 8 really reminds me of Mario Kart 64. And that, from me, that's not a bad thing. Because I loved Mario Kart 64. It plays almost just... Actually, I might as well just say it plays pretty much exactly like it. You drift around the corners, you get your boost up, you know, let it off, let your little boost out when you get around the corner, you take off. I did like the first three. I was only playing at 50cc, obviously, so I can get the hang of the game. But I was like light years ahead of the computer players in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Came in first, like for the first, you know, three circuits that I did yesterday. I was first in all of the races. But it's a lot of fun. I think when you're in first, though, I think I think your position in the race determines what items you might get when you get
one of the queues. It's always done that.
Has it really?
Yep.
I don't think I ever noticed, or actually the only reason I noticed in this one is because they no longer have the triple banana.
Uh-huh.
Which I used to drag behind me to like protect me from.
Yep. You can drop them to when the red shell's coming at you. You put them down for armor,
right? And that isn't in the game. So while I was in first the entire time, I'm getting bananas and I'm getting coins, and that was pretty much it.
What do the coins do? I remember getting some of those.
They help you speed up.
Oh, just you can only you know what. That's like Mario Brothers. That's Mario Kart, the first one. The coins made you go faster.
I think the coins in all of them made you go faster.
There aren't coins in all of them.
There aren't?
Mm-mm.
Oh. Well,
I think just the first one.
You can get 10 coins at a time. And so like when you hit 10, there's no point in collecting anymore unless someone hits you with something and then you need to get more. But like I said, I haven't actually played it full on in HD on my TV. I've just played it off the Wii U gamepad. Because my wife was playing Uncharted last night,
mm-hmm.
So I have to say that is such a cool thing about the Wii U.
I want that. What am I waiting for on Wii U? I'm not excited about Mario Kart 8. It's something that I'll play for less than a week before I'm done with it. Oh, and even Versus isn't going to be fun in that because it's gonna.
Well, no, they're not arenas anymore.
Really?
Yeah, they're the actual tracks.
It kind of makes it worse. I prefer the arena mode. Those were awesome.
Yeah, agreed. I don't know. I'm really hoping there's a Metroid game coming. The other thing besides Zelda, which I've never played a Zelda game. I've made that abundantly clear before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to play Wind Waker before Wind Waker looked like it did. Because I was really excited. Like it's not really Nintendo's fault, but you remember when they had that sizzle reel for the GameCube and Link looked badass? I was really excited. Like, that's the Zelda I wanted to play. Like, and then
you need to go play Twilight Princess.
But I don't. But that's on the Wii, and I already moved on to HD games. So I was kind of like. Like, that's the Zelda I want to play. And then the closer it got to Wind Waker, and then it was like, boom, here it is. And it sells shit. And I was like, bleh. And
you do know that's a bad reason to blah a game, right?
No. Yes, I do. But I was expecting one thing, and they gave me something else. And that's just not... That was not the type of games that I'm into. I was into at that time. Like, I was playing, like, Grand Theft Auto and games that had a more... mature look and feel to them in some respect. And that's what I wanted from a Zelda game. Like, I wanted it to basically be Skyrim or whatever, you know. But then they showed off the open world Zelda this year at E3, and I liked the look. So it's not really it's still like, it looks cel-shaded to a certain extent. It's like a modified version of cel-shading.
Well, like Nintendo's not afraid of actual colors in their games, so it's always bright and happy.
And right, I really appreciate games that have colors in them, like right now. And to be honest with you, it's not so much the colors of Wind Waker that turn me off from it; it's the art style.
Yeah,
it's the.
That's obvious. And
like I love colors. I like the way that they pop, especially on like modern HD televisions. But you know, they showed off the art style or the art direction. Is that the better word?
No, I think
because the art style is still cel shaded, isn't it?
Yep.
So then the art direction, or what would that be? The look.
The art direction would be more of a. The art director is responsible for the overall look of the game, but it's right. not the art style would be how you would describe it. The art direction is, oh man, that's a really subtle.
Because one's difference. Responsible for like character designs and the way the world looks, and the other one is one's character design, and one's the way the world's.
Well, I guess art style would be more general. What does the game kind of look like? Art direction is the more scientific breakdown of keeping everything unified. And are we making it realistic or are we making it gritty?
I guess the realistic cel shading that they're going with the new Zelda
mm-hmm.
appeals to me. And so I was like, I want to play that. They also announced a new Star Fox.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was kind of like hush-hush and brushed over because Miyamoto is working on it himself.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's fighting to give reason for the gamepad for the Wii U to exist. And my understanding is, from what I've heard, is that Star Fox, one of the controller setups for Star Fox is that the screen on the Wii U is inside the cockpit of the R-Wing, and therefore you aim off of the Wii U gamepad, but you see the larger picture off of, you know, your TV. And then I guess at any point you can flip it so it's the other way around.
That's going to be hard to do.
That's why I think that's going to be one of the controller settings.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll have a more traditional Star Fox control setup.
What I think you need to do with that gamepad are things like, you played X-Wing Flight Simulator thing, right?
Nope.
No? Okay. I think that's kind of a direction to go with that gamepad, that you have your power readouts and where things are going and where your shields are focused on that gamepad, but then all the gameplay happens up on the screen. I think.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm willing to bet you all the inventory selection for Zelda is going to be on the gamepad.
Mm-hmm.
On Mario Kart 8, the gamepad is a giant horn button. Like, that's all they could think to do with it. Not display, like, the racetrack or anything, but...
Oh, man, the map would have been great.
It's a giant horn button. Man, where the hell is Danner? Oh, well.
He passed out. I hope he's not driving.
I don't think he is.
I don't think so either. I don't think he's not that kind of dumb. I didn't mean it like that, but it sounds great.
Well, shoot. Anyways, I'm happy with it. Plus, Miyamoto says he's trying to get Star Fox out by next year.
Yeah, there's been a couple of things out, and I can't think of what they are for the Wii U that kind of got me excited, but...
And Bayonetta keeps me coming back.
Ugh.
Because I like the first one, and I'm looking forward to the second one. Because I like the Devil May Cry games.
Yeah, I don't like that genre.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can attempt to turn this into a podcast.
Yeah, that's fine. I think we're doing all right, actually. But
well, here,
I'm trying to think of what I've been playing.
Wait, how about we record the intro right now,
uh-huh,
and then we say that it's, I don't know, or we can just start right now and I can throw this entire thing on the end of the show.
Or we do the intro now and leave this part right here where we're talking about doing the intro now, and then
So I can even put the music this late in the thing too. Hello and welcome to Off the Cuff episode 47. It has been 3 months. No one asked for us to come back. No one cared until about 16 days ago when Andre Walters asked, "Is this coming back anytime soon?" Well,
and Andre, we love you for asking for us.
I'm here. As you've heard, Joe is here.
Hello.
Danner maybe passed out somewhere. Last we heard, he had had 8 beers and pizza. And that was an hour ago. We have not heard from him since.
And I miss him.
Joe, what have you been doing?
I'm trying to remember, man. I mean, I just came off the geek sale. Gosh, was that last week? It seems like time has become stretched out. Week and a half ago, I think.
Yes, week and a half ago.
So that's been the thing. I've been surrounded by toys and video games and cleaning up and setting up after that. And that's been fun, you know, completing some childhood dreams, getting the Krang that I've been dreaming of having since I was like 11 years old, the Ninja Turtle tall rubber Krang. Actually have been playing video games, and as we've been chatting, I'm trying to think of what I've actually been playing. With your new hard drive, I was able to the hard drive that you let me borrow for my PS3 get Wolf Among Us episode 3 or 4. I've lost count.
How is that working out?
The hard drive?
Yeah, any
it's great. It's like I don't need to think about my PlayStation anymore, because there were times where I had to do things very deliberately, or, you know, I shut it down very carefully every way. I think you can basically, if you're on the home screen, just walk up and hit the power button. I don't think you need to power it down, do you?
Nope, you can just hit the home. You can just hit the power button
as long as it's not loading anything. Yeah, and yep. So I wasn't doing that with the old one because it would lock up trying to boot. But now that I have the new hard drive, it's I can forget about it now. It's back to being invisible, besides when I'm playing something on it, of course. But Wolf Among Us has been amazing. I finally am playing through Rez instead of just getting the demo over and over again. and that's been way better than I thought from the demo. I was ready to ignore that game. But it's some good old school platforming. I can't wait to give Wolf Among Us like Game of the Year. I think that's where I'm going to head when we get around to doing that.
I haven't played it yet. I'm waiting for all the chapters to come out.
Can't wait like that?
No, I bought it. I bought Wolf Among Us and I bought...
Oh, Season Pass, right?
Yep, Season Pass. I did the Season Pass and I did the Season Pass for The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't play either one of them until the entire thing is out.
That's not a bad way to do it.
And I've said it before on this, you know, I learned my lesson with The Walking Dead. I like to immerse myself and get into it with the decision-making.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that something was lost in between. I finished episode 4 of The Walking Dead, and the momentum that I had built up going into the end of season 4 or episode 4 of The Walking Dead was lost going into episode 5, even waiting, you know, 48 hours to finish it. That momentum that I had had lost. I had time to sit back and think about choices that I was making a little more rationally and thinking maybe I shouldn't have done that. So if I get a chance to correct it, maybe I should. I like when they give you choices like that. I just kind of like to roll with the momentum and not have any. And the other part of it is I don't like to have to remember what choices I may have made, because sometimes they kind of keep, depending on who you talk to, they keep track of what you may have told them or if you've lied before. And it's kind of like you want to keep up a certain, you want to play the character the way you want to play it, not just kind of willy nilly, you know?
Yeah, and sometimes you forget how you're playing it, and or you forget who you lied to, and it might matter how you play the character later. Yep. I need to sit down and get back into the first Walking Dead. I have not played that, not because I don't want to, but because I don't want any more characters to die, and if I don't play it, they live forever. but I need to finish that story. Last I remember, I think, spoilers if you haven't played it, the kid bites it, and I think that's about where I quit. I need to keep going.
That's at the end of
three. Four.
Yeah, you're at the end of three. Four is where it gets where it got pretty, like, episode two was good. Three was a transition episode. Four and five are great. I recently played them again earlier this year, late last year on the Vita. Because I purchased The Walking Dead on the Vita again.
That's cool.
I purchased it again because at the time I was like, I'm not going to be playing on my PS3 anymore, but yet I want to be able to play The Walking Dead. And some of your decisions and stuff carry over.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least they look at your save file and I'm like, I don't want to have to play on my PS3. I'll just play it again on the Vita and have that save file carry over. And that's why I bought it again. But then I turned around and bought the season pass for Walking Dead on the PS3.
Whoops.
It doesn't matter. So.
Yeah, I think with Wolf Among Us, episode 2 has been my favorite so far. And I a lot happened. And it was a shorter episode. It felt short, but it was really packed with a lot of really fun stuff to do, and it was the first time that in any of these kind of choose your own adventure games where I felt like I made all the right decisions and I didn't screw up. So that I'm really, really happy with that playthrough, and so far the episode 3 has continued. I episode 4 might even be out now. I need to go double check, but when I finished 3, I was like, okay, I gotta step away. It was a good quitting point.
4 is out yet.
That's too bad.
I don't think so. I could be wrong. I'm not following it as closely as I'm following The Walking Dead.
So. Well, I like it way more because it's not as tense. It's good. It's mature and I don't know. It's serious, but it's not life-ending peril.
Do you think you'll play their Borderlands game?
Telltale?
Yeah. They have a game calling. It's called Tales from the Borderlands.
I think I have been scared off of Borderlands permanently by how badly 2 got me. I don't think I'll ever go back to Borderlands.
See, I'm right there with you, but I'm hearing really good things about Tales from the Borderland just because it's a Telltale game.
Yeah, I hear a lot of really good things about Call of Duty, but it doesn't mean I'm going to like it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't. I can't go back there. But there's too much other good stuff that's the same.
The problem is the thing about Borderlands 2 that drove me away from it.
Is that freaking DLC?
But I don't think that's going to be Tales from the Borderlands' problem. You know what I'm saying? Like the quality of the experience, like Borderlands 2 proper, I liked it until they fixed it. So I don't even know.
Yeah, the way that they're handling that property is not good. And with games like Evolve coming out, and
it's not that they're not handling it good. Here's the thing. The first Borderlands, in my opinion, to me, set a precedent for our game is going to be wacky, fun, play it how you want. And then Borderlands 2 was like, nope, this isn't a wacky fun game anymore. This is how it's meant to be played. This is how it's going to be played. We're like, and it basically took a game that was like wild and wacky and made it like a competitive shooter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's kind of like, why do you care if we have a, you know, a shield that, you know, over amplifies a gun that can kill something in one shot? Why do you care if that exists in your game? That's what your game is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you don't like that, why not just, instead of fixing the gun and the shield, why not just make the guy tougher? Like, and when they did that, that's when Borderlands died for me.
Mm-hmm.
When they started treating it like something that it's not. And I'm not saying like Borderlands was a piece of garbage, because it wasn't, but it was a lot of fun. And then they made it not that.
My problem between Borderlands, well, one, I didn't ever end up getting with you guys, because I didn't have the Xbox at the time. By the time I did get it and got Borderlands 1, you guys were near the tail end of your obsession with it. So I was getting rushed through the game and didn't really care, or I didn't play it long enough to understand how to play it, because mm-hmm. I was being rushed through it. And then so when Borderlands 2 came out, I was like, oh man, yeah, excited, let's jump on. I knew vaguely what my problems were with part 1, but there wasn't this kind of quantum leap between 1 and 2 that I expected, like there was a quantum leap between Left 4 Dead 1 and Left 4 Dead 2.
I hated Left 4 Dead 2.
I don't know how you can hate that game, because it was actually complete. I mean, everything that you loved from 1 was still there, but there was more.
I hated it. I had a bad thing from that. I had it out for Left 4 Dead 2 from the minute that game was announced.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just out, because it was going to come out a year later, and it was like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, I didn't have any problems with like the first Left 4 Dead. I didn't feel like it was incomplete. When the first Left 4 Dead came out, there was all this promise of DLC and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And all of a sudden, it was like, no, we're not going to do DLC anymore. We're going to charge you $60 for another whole game. And it's like, that's not what you promised us when we bought this.
I think Microsoft had a lot to do with,
but your Valve,
how Valve handled the DLC for that.
But your Valve, like, I don't know. I feel like you could have strong-armed somebody if you're Valve.
I think if they could have struck, well, they weren't what they are now. They were still something, but I don't think if they could have strong-armed Microsoft, I think they would have. I mean, they'd have set a precedent for DLC forever if they'd have been able to, and I think they'd have taken the opportunity to do that. As kind of to their customers as they're on the PC, they tried to on the Microsoft and were shut down. I believe that.
But I just had it out for them from the get-go, because that was not the promise that you delivered on us.
I don't blame them. I blame Microsoft for
and
that.
And then
I agree with you. That's what happened.
For me, though, I feel like they should have taken their ball and gone home. Like, because Left 4 Dead was such a niche experience in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they should have just taken their ball and gone home. Like, if we can't release this for free, then we're just going to take our ball and go home. But it's not even that. They could have released it for free on PC and given a huge middle finger to console gamers.
And I don't think they wanted to do that.
But they could have done it and gotten people enraged at Microsoft. But no, and so they decided to charge both people, both PC gamers and console gamers, for the game. When they had their own, they have their own store. They can charge whatever they want for a game. But they didn't deliver on the promise that they had for it. And so I was just kind of like, I would have had more respect for them if they just taken their ball and gone home.
I think they're too greedy to do that. They still are a corporation.
And because of that, I never beat a single stage in Left 4 Dead 2. I couldn't do it on any difficulty level. Like, I just could not get into the game. Whereas Left 4 Dead, the first one, I could do every level of that game blindfolded on like almost any difficulty. And loved it. Played it to death. I played that pretty much right up until Borderlands came out, because I think they came out the same year. Yeah. No. Borderlands came out in 2008?
I don't even know.
I know Left 4 Dead was 2008. Borderlands might have been 2009. Either way, yeah. But you're right. We have Evolve this year.
We have, and oh god, I keep forgetting the name of it. Kind of an MMO, four players in the city. You can come across other groups. You don't know Division? If you can trust them. Yes,
that's next year.
That one's coming out, I think.
I'm excited for that one.
With all of those games, I don't need another Borderlands.
No,
I don't need to be frustrated with the things that I am not getting from what I want them to do.
Yeah, they burn their bridge, and they taught me a lesson about season passes.
Yep.
Like I bought into Borderlands 2 big time. Season pass, the collector edition, whole nine yards. Will never do that again, ever, because then I'm sorry to all the other games that actually like deserve it, like Titanfall, and I'm sure the Division.
Titanfall doesn't deserve it.
I think so, because I love that. I have a blast every time I play that game. But yeah, I just learned a huge lesson. No more season passes. Nope. I will piecemeal everything, or if I hear that it's actually like, but see, that's the weird thing. Like, there were reviews for the DLC, and no one said the DLC for Borderlands was bad. So it's like, I can't even trust reviews anymore to know if I should buy something.
I don't know. I just come into question myself, because you and Art and Sean will disagree with me so many times, but I've been in the business and in the industry watching E3 for so long that I know when a game is going to be good. I know when it's going to let me down, and I haven't been wrong, or I'll rephrase that and say I haven't been wrong enough and noticed it to change my opinion on the fact that I think I know everything. So I
don't think it's that you know everything, and I don't mean to cut you off.
No, that's fine.
I think it's just that you know what you like.
Yep, and I can smell it coming.
I think you know what you like, and you know, and if something's being marketed at you or not. And I mean, regardless of whether or not, and I think what happens is when we say a game might be good, the marketing you see for it might have never spoken to you.
And I also think one of my superpowers is I can look at a game and say, I will love that game. That will be the most awesome game I play this year for about 2 hours. And after that, it's going to be garbage. And I think I see those experiences coming.
Like Destiny?
Yep. I think I know how Destiny because will be for me.
That was the most excited I think I've ever seen you about a game.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. And then it was like a night and day, like when we were talking about it, like 2 days later.
Yeah, because it took until Art got to that big city and started seeing all of the options that were coming, like these elemental weapons and these banks and all these other things. I saw that it was going to instantly go over my head where, I'm sorry, I have a 3-year-old now and I don't spend more than 45 minutes at a time gaming. It would exceed my ability to enjoy it.
The one thing I think
it's too complex, I guess.
The one thing I think you would like about it is I think you can choose your own difficulty level when you're playing with other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, what it felt like while playing it is that it does the thing that I think Borderlands should have done, is that you step into it, doesn't matter what level you are, everything scales to you. It doesn't scale to the group. And so when, you know, you're level 20 shooting this big monster, you're seeing 300 damage every bullet. When I'm in that group with you shooting at this guy as a level 3, I'm doing 30 damage to it. But the proportions are the same. Like, it has less hit points for me than you, but we're all doing proportional damage to it, so it dies when it should. I think the whole game scales to where you're at.
Right.
And I got that feeling from when you pick things up, it's a generic little icon on the ground. And when you pick it up, it tells you what it is. You know, it's a quest item or a weapon or ammo. It's very generic, but it plugs into where you're at. And so that's kind of neat, and it would keep it from I'm only playing it one day a week, you guys are playing it 3 days a week and are three times as far as me, I can still jump in and enjoy it. But I also think there are games that I will enjoy more than that, like The Division and like Evolve. I think I'm going to get into those a little more. And Rainbow Six.
Well, we're talking about, just so we don't not leading the listeners all over the place.
Yeah.
Destiny, first of all, if Danner was here, he'd probably have more to say about it, because he, I think, wasn't following it as much as I was, and I was hardly following it. It was really interesting to see his reaction to the game, and along with yours, Joe, because it, even when I sat down and I played it with Shaunzi and Allie on Sunday, it's exactly what I thought it'd be, if not a little. Oh, see, I always do this. I always say I really like something, but I don't really care for this. I'm holding out for the hope that it was an alpha, and I'm pretty sure the beta is going to be the same way. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the stuff you did in that alpha build was so tedious. Like, I hope that that stuff gets buried underneath the story in the actual game, because it was a lot of go here, kill these things, collect this, go here, kill these things, collect this. And I know that that's like a video game trope. Like, mm-hmm. that's what you do. But for some reason, and it could be because it was an alpha and it was like such a small slice of the
game. And maybe those were side quests or something.
Yeah. Well, they were obviously all side quests, because mm-hmm. I didn't get any story out of that alpha.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know you got into the alpha.
Yeah. We received two of them from Amazon.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Yeah.
So, but it was a lot of go here, do this, go there, do that. And I just hope that it's because of like the slice they decided to show you, and I hope that's a smaller portion of mm-hmm. the game, because that was so tedious. Like, we would end up getting caught in this loop where it was like, go here. Now it's like you find a beacon, and then you have to go clear across the map and kill something to collect whatever that beacon sent you on the mission for. And then once you're over there, there's another beacon, but they want you to go all the way back over where the other beacon was. So you're just like walking back and forth across this freaking map,
mm-hmm.
doing the exact same thing, but you're collecting 10 of something different. And it's just like, oh, wow. Like, even after like doing that like two times, I was like,
yep,
I'm kind of done.
I hope it doesn't turn into crappy MMO, sorry fans, but like the big popular one on World computers, of World of Warcraft, where, you know, kill 10 rats, kill 10 of this. There's I think there's more story to this. That's the feeling that I have from it. But
oh, I think there's gonna be like way more story.
Yeah,
I'm just hoping that like
that content is not in front of our faces.
Yes, and I'm pretty sure it will be, because it was an alpha. And even the beta will probably be more of the same. Actually, I'm kind of wondering what could possibly be different between the two. Because that looked mighty finished. It looked pretty.
It seemed to me like they were testing something more in the background than...
I think they were testing the... just how the network populates the world with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's going to be interesting to me... Oh, you know what it is? I think when you're in story missions, if you run a story, I think that's when it separates you away from other people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just grinding around on the planet, that's when you'll run into other people. Great.
That sounded like a shotgun.
Fireworks.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. I have a dog who's probably scared shitless right now. So, anyways, Destiny, looking forward to that. I had fun with it. Kind of bummed that I got into the alpha late, but the beta comes out in like a month. So, let's see, what else do we have? We've got Evolve.
Evolve, I'm excited for. I haven't seen much of it. My fear on that is that the evolution of your critter is not going to be as organic as I think it should be, or procedural. I think the evolution of the critter should be procedural, not scripted. Like, I don't want people to get into that game and be able to steer the creature to be something that they want it to be.
You play as the creature.
Yes, I know. Yes, yes. I don't want the guy to get in there and end up being, I don't know how they're leveling it, but like, he knows what he wants to kill the guys with, so he steers it this way and becomes the same level 10 creature with blades on his hands.
I don't think one creature can become all the creatures. I think you pick which creature you want to start as.
And then from there, I want the evolution of it to become... Wait, no, okay. When the creature dies, it comes back. A different player character is playing the creature when it comes back at its next evolution, right? Is that how they're kind of hinting?
I don't think so. I think it can be the same guy all the time.
Okay.
And I don't think I think if he dies, that's the end of the round. Because he levels up and goes through, he does evolve. That's mm-hmm. hence the freaking name.
Mm-hmm.
But like he can be, they said that in the first phase of the monster's evolution, he can be killed easily. So what you do as the monster is you actually have to kill other animals and other flora and fauna
mm-hmm.
in the environment to level up. You don't want to go, you're hiding from the humans while they're tracking you. You're hiding from the humans and you're killing other monsters to level up. Once you get to level 2, it's pretty evenly matched. Like, you can go toe-to-toe with them. But once you get to level 3, you overpower them.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, depending on, like, the skills and of the group and all that stuff, things change. So you are very killable at level 1. I don't know how many levels there are, but they said that you are very, playing as the monster, you are very killable as level 1. So if you are reckless and, you know, you're easily trackable, you could be hunted down and killed fairly quickly.
So, gosh, I hope I can play that game. I hope it's something that I can.
Well, even if you can't play as the monster, at least you can play with, like, you know, three of us. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, three of us. I mean, it's not going to be that bad. And of course, you know, that's from the guys that made Left 4 Dead.
Yep.
So, then there's The Division, which I'm really excited about. Did you see the new E3 trailer from this year?
No, I didn't see anything from Division this year.
Okay. They had it was a very CG trailer. It didn't have any, like, they showed gameplay this year too, but the one that I'm talking about is just it's a CG trailer, and it's about how in, like, kind of like a state of emergency like this, everyone kind of becomes invisible. To, like, everyone just worries about themselves. They don't really pay attention to what's going on with other people. And so the trailer, it's like a time-lapse video, and there's a conversation, and you don't ever see anybody, but you hear people talking about different events in their lives and how things are happening. And at the end of it, it's kind of the voiceover is kind of like, no one actually pays attention to anybody, and this is why you as the player need to stand up and take charge. And the character that you play as in the game, like, reaches down, like, it's the first thing you see in the game. He reaches, you see his hand come out, and a guy that was just thrown on the ground all of a sudden becomes visible because you're paying attention to him and trying to help out
mm-hmm.
the world. And you pick him up and you offer him protection from these guys that are, like, you know, beating him up and stealing his stuff. And it's just it's a really powerful trailer, actually. Looking forward to that. And obviously that's 4-player co-op. I'm interested to see how organic that experience is.
Mm-hmm.
I
get the sense from that, from the first thing I started, I don't remember when, maybe it was last E3,
it was last E3. Out,
that as you and your group of three other friends are going through the city doing whatever it is that you do, when you come across another group of 4-player characters, which I'm sure they populate in there very sparingly, that when you come across a group, there's this tension like you get in Walking Dead. Like, are these guys going to kill me? Are they going to backstab me? Are they going to be friendly? And so those interactions you need to, I hope that they are paying attention to how those interactions work.
I think they just automatically put you in an arena.
Oh, well, I think so too. I think the whole city is an arena, but that the people that they're putting in there are, you know, they may only put four player character groups in this 10 square mile area, and the chances of you coming across each other are whatever they are. But when you do, I hope that the interaction between them is not controlled, but that they've thought about it too. Well, how you have to handle it if the other group is either hostile or friendly.
No. That's what I'm saying. I don't think there is a choice. I think when you come across them, it puts up an arena and you fight. Like, I don't think there's like a time. I don't think you can actually be like, hey, are you friendly? And the guy like shoots at you and then then it becomes a firefight. I think it's, I would love it if it's like what you're describing, but I have a really strong suspicion that it's, oh, you came across another group of four players, fight.
See, that will cause me to not be interested in the game because I'm done going versus against people I don't know.
I think it depends on how interspersed those are. And I'm also wondering if that's something you can't turn off.
I hope that's not the impression that I got, but I think that that's doing it the way that I described is an interesting, it opens up some play options. Are you going to trade? Are you going to build a trade relationship with their group's home somewhere?
But that's not that knowing what I know about the Division, that's what you're suggesting doesn't work, because as a member of the Division, you are an embedded like special forces person.
Okay.
So when everyone's playing in their own game, you are actually playing as the hero. You're not playing as like some like a faction that's just fighting for survival in the city. You are actually a government sponsored group that was like, you guys were like planted throughout New York City, and you're kind of like the last line of defense. And when after this plague hits and the whole place drops into utter chaos and there is no more like structure anymore, your cell is activated and you become the like martial law. And so you're roving the streets protecting innocents from these like from these people that are setting up factions to try and take over, you know, the civilized world, and you're fighting against that.
Okay.
And so everyone that's playing, even if you're in a group of four, everyone that's playing, they're playing as the hero. So while we're playing as the hero and we see another group of four people, we're going to see them as a group of bandits, where they're going to see themselves as heroes and they're going to see us as bandits.
Okay.
I would love it if it's like you're suggesting, but I really think that because it's not, like I said, you're not a faction fighting for survival in the city. You're fighting to preserve what was there, like legally, quote unquote. There is definitely heroes and bad guys.
I'm kind of disappointed to hear that, but I'll still give it a shot.
So, of course, that's a Tom Clancy game. And another Tom Clancy game that I am... See, okay.
You're going to have to fight me for being the sniper.
I was so happy. Because... Okay, first of all, we're talking about Rainbow Six Siege, which Ubisoft pranced out on stage as their, you know, piece de la resistance of their conference. Previous years, in 2012, that honor went to Watch Dogs. Yes, it's been 2 years since they showed us Watch Dogs. In 2013, they showed us The Division. And this year, we get Rainbow Six Siege, which is the aborted child from Rainbow Six Patriots. So... Yeah, I've never played a Rainbow Six game. Don't really care for the Rainbow Six games, but Siege, very intrigued by Siege. I don't know when it happened. It has to have happened in the last few years. As my time became like you, Joe, you know, you've got family and stuff like that. as my time became increasingly like tied up with stuff, I have found that I put a lot of emphasis on multiplayer cooperative gaming.
Yep.
And because at least then I can game and I can hang out with my friends. So anything that allows like any form of co-op, I'm paying attention to. And Siege looks like that type of co-op that we all could get into because we can actually kind of pay attention and work together.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looks like so much fun. And I was so excited because I was like watching it with, I think I was texting Danner when the conference was going on. I said, is there a sniper outside? And he goes, no. And I said, yeah, I think one of them is outside watching in the windows. And then of course, then you hear like she starts shooting someone and then she gets taken out. And I'm like, yeah, there's a sniper outside. And I'm like, oh, I'm sold. Like, ah. But you're a Rainbow Six guy.
Yeah, I liked Vegas and Vegas 2. The story mode, all right, it had a nice co-op component going through it. And there was an online versus, but I don't like online versus because I'm not that good. But what Vegas 1 and 2 had that I absolutely loved was Terrorist Hunt. You could go in there with a lot of other settings, but you could change from 10 terrorists to 30 of them. Which map are you on? Day, night, what weapons, what's your loadout? You're getting experience, you're leveling up, you're getting new guns. And but the Terrorist Hunt was fun. It was like a puzzle game, first-person shooter, because me and Art, we played that like crazy on the 360. It was, where do we have to be? What tools do we need? The heat vision, the shooting through, the soft target doors. I loved it. And because I wasn't playing against other human beings, I wasn't cranky when I lost. And, you know, you get like one death or two deaths, which is, it's fine by me. And then you can watch your partner go on if you're the one. And I've maybe cleared out a level full of terrorists maybe 10 times in all the times that I've played, but that's just so much fun. And I'm hoping that this, that we watched the video for Siege is that the guys in the house, I think they were human controlled or supposed to be human controlled in this, but I really hope you can automate those guys. And that the AI is really good and that we can team up against bots in the same way that we teamed up against bots in Vegas 1 and 2. So one way or another, I will play it.
I think you'll get that, but I think what they're going for, because I've heard that it's one shot, one kill. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not your typical shooter. They're bringing back the hardcore shooter. Like, you get one death and you get one life and you're done.
I'm sure that's a setting or a mode or what you choose to play.
Possibly, but they didn't say that there are other modes. Mm-hmm. But there must be. Otherwise, I don't see how you can get $60 out of this game.
Yeah.
But then again, I wouldn't really put it past them to sell it for $60.
And Vegas 1 and 2, where if you got shot, you're in a real bad spot. And it you could die very quickly depending on where you got hit. So I'm kind of used to that. I don't need shields like in Halo or
running
rest design. But
when you do die, though, it doesn't take you out of the game. You can mm-hmm. still watch what's happening and give information to your party.
Mm-hmm.
So you could still like watch someone's back even though you're dead. Which is kind of nice. Doesn't take you completely out of the action.
If I don't have a PS4 before that game comes out, I think that'll be the game that makes me decide, yep, time to get it now.
Well, that's next year, so you've got some time.
I've got some time. They have some time to get Last Guardian out. Of course, Last Guardian's not a system seller. I can wait for that as much as I love it. But
let's see. We're dabbling a little here in E3. Well, let's just say, actually, you know what's really funny? I had to go back and listen to some episodes because I made some it might be in our prediction episode. I don't know if we did a prediction episode or not. I feel like we did.
But how many blowjobs does Art owe you for saying that Grand Theft Auto 5 was not coming out next gen?
I have to go back and listen to some episodes because I'm pretty sure I said that if it comes out, he needs to buy it for me. I'm pretty sure that was the bet because it was the same bet we had with Watch Dogs.
I think he's admitted that. I remember him saying that at the geek sale.
And I'm fairly certain that that's what it was. And so I think he owes me a copy of Grand Theft Auto 5, but the other one was the Kinectless Xbox One. I threw it out there that they would drop the Kinect from the Xbox One.
I didn't think that was going to happen, but yeah.
Well, they've now reversed every single thing that they said last year. Part of me wishes they would have stuck to their guns.
And part of me wishes that they never had guns to stick to, that they just actually released a video game console that their customer base wanted and realized that people are not ready for X, Y, and Z. I will have a hard time ever trusting them as a company again. And I still, like you've also predicted, don't trust them to release an Xbox One Slim that does not have a disc drive.
I see that coming. That'll probably be their first revision. I mean, either their first or second revision of the Xbox One won't have a disc drive in it.
That's my prediction as well, and it scares me to death. I may have said it here. I'll say it again. I am terrified of this generation's, as in people, not as in video games, this generation's dissolving concepts of ownership. I think that's going to bite all of us in the butt at some point. And people will be very sad but then that will cause this riot revolution thing and then they'll fix it. But I know that that's coming and it's not time for digital ownership yet. You know,
So have you followed some of the E3 stuff, right?
Yep.
So besides Siege and besides Destiny and Evolve and The Division,
mm-hmm.
Did anything else stand out to you?
Nintendo seems to be doing some really neat things with their what is now a gimped little system. The Wii U is on par with the Xbox 360 and the PS3, you know, plus a little bit. It is a more powerful system, but it's not one or a four.
Here's what's funny. Quick. It is more powerful than those systems, but it is so much slower. And I don't know why. Anyways,
is it like load times?
Yeah, like the system itself is just slow.
And that really surprises me because that back in the day, that was one of Nintendo's reason for staying with cartridges on the N64. There were two reasons that they did that. One, they didn't think load times were a good thing and they were very against that, and the durability. And it wasn't until they had a way to make their games durable and load fast that the GameCube came out. Yeah, they dual layered those discs so you could scratch them and the data is still there. And the load times on Nintendo properties, the load times were either very, very hidden or they didn't have any because it was loading it as you were approaching that line that you needed to cross to load into the new zone. And that, so to hear that they're doing it that way, that it's slow on the Wii U is really gets me nervous in their design philosophy.
What baffles me about it is that they're using a solid state drive in it.
Really?
And it's slow. Like once the game is in and the game is playing, like I really haven't noticed any load times beyond the obvious. When I say like beyond the obvious, I'm playing Mario Kart 8. So obviously there's a slight load when I say slight, I mean minuscule, like load when you're loading in a track.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but I'm talking about like the system UI, like the system startup, navigating around. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is like kind of slow and clunky, and I mean, it's I don't know it. Like I said, I don't know what it is, but yes, I do believe what's in there. If it's not more powerful, it's at least more recent, more reliable hardware than the 360. I think it has more in common with the 360 than the PS3, to be honest with you, just from an architecture standpoint, because I think they're both power PCs for hardware. But anyways, Nintendo doing something quirky.
I wish that they would have actually come out with a legitimate next-gen system, because they've shot themselves in the foot again. It's going to be good for the next year and a half. Not even good, but it's going to work for the next year and a half. But then as soon as we actually get some next-gen A-list titles that aren't going to come to the Wii U, that's going to be a problem, because Nintendo...
They're already not getting them.
Yeah, and that's where Nintendo's screwed up for two generations now, and it'll be another 5 years at least before they can release a legitimate next gen system. And when I say next gen system, I mean beyond PS4 and Xbox One. The next system that comes out, it's got to be comparable to those, so the multi platform titles can come out on them again. That all of that being said, they're announcing some amazing fun stuff. Legend of Zelda. The Mario games actually look good, at least the 3D ones, the multiplayer two-dimensional ones I'm not excited for, but I bet they're fun, and I bet they're a challenge.
How many times can you release a Mario game on a system, and how many times can you keep diving back into, like, relying on Zelda or the promise of Zelda to save a system? And I'm not saying, like, Zelda doesn't sell or the Zelda doesn't help. My problem is with Nintendo is that they have more properties than Zelda and Mario. And
they get screwed every once in a while, and then they get trigger shy, you know, with Metroid, Other M, you know, they're reluctant to release another Metroid anytime soon.
Give it back to Retro. Get Metroid Prime 4.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, like, I think they'd be trigger shy to even do that. My sense is that they're probably hoping they're giving enough time for people to really forget Other M before
everyone's
they release
forgotten
another game.
Other M already. Like, any self-respecting Metroid fan has forgotten Other M completely.
Yeah, Nintendo's they work differently than everybody else. But, you know, one of my issues with the fans is Nintendo comes out and then they release their Mario and they release their Zelda, and then people are like, oh man, another Mario, another Zelda. But then at the same time, people say, we love those Nintendo first party things. And you're right, they do have more first party properties than what we have, and they do even come out with new ones. There's a new one that they announced, a new IP they announced.
Splatoon?
This time. I don't remember. Could have been. What's it? You know what it's about?
I think they announced two. I missed
their press conference.
I think they announced two. The only one I'm really familiar with is Splatoon, and that's their take on the third-person, first-person shooter, where you play as a squid squirting paint all over the level.
Huh.
You don't win by killing other players. You win by coloring the level in your color.
Huh.
It's very pretty. You should check it out.
I'll check it out. You know, I mean, at one point, Pikmin was a new IP, and they brought that to us, and we love it, and we can't wait to see Olimar in Smash Brothers or whatever.
How do we get Pikmin 3 before we get another Metroid game?
Trigger happy, trigger shy, rather. Trigger shy. I mean, it's
I played the demo for Zombie U.
Uh-huh.
And there was this really cool thing where you could lift up the gamepad and look into it, like it was the prop in the thing, and you could spin it around in your space, and it was like this weird type of augmented reality. If you took it and spun the controller in your hand to the left, the screen would actually show you what you're looking at to the left, even though what's on screen, you're still looking straight ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But you move that controller to the left, you can actually see what's to the left of you. And then you can actually snap the in-game camera to look where you were looking with the gamepad.
Hmm.
That's really neat. And when I'm playing it, I'm like, why? They have to be making a Metroid game with this, because we all remember Metroid Prime. It was really big on the scanning.
Yeah.
And I could totally imagine moving the Wii U gamepad around in this augmented reality space to scan objects. Like, you want a game that could use it, you're sitting on one.
They're sitting on a lot of things they could do with that gamepad, and I've heard that Nintendo is potentially releasing a Wii U without the gamepad.
That was one of my predictions as well. I don't know. I don't think it'll come to Japan or like North America or Europe. I think it'll be like a Chinese thing in those markets.
Mm.
Because everyone's getting ready to go into those markets. And they're trying to bring the cost of the hardware down. So I think that's why I think you'll see a gamepad less Wii U for those mm-hmm. markets, but not for the US market. Especially if Miyamoto's working on three different games, I don't think they're going to give it up anytime soon.
Oh, they need to stop relying on him. He's good at what he does, but I think... I don't know.
He's bringing me another Star Fox, damn it. Leave him alone. Even if it will have the most convoluted control scheme I've ever seen. But hey, we can't all have N64 controllers, right?
I know. I'd love that back.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think of the new IP that you are mentioning. I think someone likened it to Advance Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think, and I can't remember the name because it wasn't at their Nintendo Direct. They did not announce it there. They announced it at a developers thing.
And I'm forgetting my other game that came out that I just jumped back into my head. Mario Maker.
Hmm.
I'm excited for that. Because I think it's bigger than what they've showed. I think you can do more than just make Mario with it.
Hmm.
I think it might be... not quite Little Big Planet or that Xbox version of that, but I think it's going to be, it might draw the line at like a top-down Zelda, but I think you'll be able to do just about anything you want to do side-scroller.
Everything I've seen or heard, and you could be right, everything I've seen or heard is just that it's crowdsourced Mario levels.
Yep. The thing that makes me think it might be more is... a small YouTube video with one of the developers who said you're going to see more skins than what we've showed. And the kind of, I don't know, what I read between the lines on that was like side-scrolling Zelda, like Zelda Adventure of Link.
I think skin might refer to the Mario game that you're playing in.
I believe that, but I also think that they could very easily take it further than that. Do you remember the remake thing of Mario 1 that allowed you to be the guy from Contra and Mega Man and Link, and it controlled like those games?
Nope.
It's a free download game thing. You can be the Ninja Turtle, you can be Mega Man, you can be the Contra guy, you can be the Double Dragon guy, and they make concessions to how to get you over the big jumps. There are things that work for it, but it's really neat, and I think that is kind of their inspiration for Mario Maker is that kind of side-scrolling thing. So I think you could essentially, I think you'll be able to do Metroid in it.
You know what else sold me on the Wii U?
Mm.
Yoshi's Woolly World.
I want to see that. In fact, I'm going to go type it here.
It looks gorgeous. Like, I'm so glad that Nintendo is making HD games now. I know it's taking them
with
forever.
Their beautiful colors. Oh my
forever
god.
Forever to make their games right now. But man, if they're not worth it. I have not tried Pikmin yet. I'm looking forward to trying that.
Okay. If Woolly World looks like this thumbnail, I'm going to freak my stuff out.
Like the knit?
Yeah, Yoshi knit? Yep. Like Sackboy?
Yes.
That's awesome.
It's the same guys that made Kirby's Epic Yarn.
I didn't care for that when I played it, well, but I'm interested.
It's the art style. It's not the same type of game. Yeah, but
yeah, it was how it controlled and played that I didn't dig, but right. It looked good.
Yeah, so I'm...
Especially since I was making quilts when I played that, I was totally down with it.
Yeah, it's the same team. Nintendo didn't want them to make a sequel to Kirby's Epic Yarn. So they decided to make a Yoshi game. And if I can throw knit eggs at somebody, excellent. Excellent.
Oh, this is going to look beautiful on HD.
Oh, yeah. All right. You want to wrap this up?
I think so.
Well, if you're still listening, actually, hang on. I got to pull up my script to end this the right way.
Well, while you're doing the script, I'll say, listeners, what were you excited to hear about on E3? What did we not discuss? Send us your comments to someplace that Mike will tell you, because I don't know how to work any of that newfangled stuff. But we'll talk about it next time we're here.
Okay. If you want to get in touch with us, you can comment on our parent site at geekcastradio.com or send emails to us at feedback@geekcastradio.com. Put off the cuff in the subject line and they'll make sure it gets to us. You can find myself, Michael Powers, on Twitter, Xbox Live, and the PlayStation Network at BoothNinja81. You could also find me on the Wii U. My Nintendo Network ID is BoothTendo, all one word. I was joined by Joe,
who you can find most easily on Facebook if you search for the Geek Stuff Garage Sale page. You can also find me on PlayStation Network. I believe I'm still VV Wildfire, so it looks like Wildfire, because they wouldn't let me have my gamer tag back. Find me there. Yeah, it sounds sexy when you say it that way.
Yeah, it does.
Can't find me on Twitter because I forgot how to check it. But either way, I'd love to hear from you, so find a way to get a hold of me.
All right. See you guys next week. Maybe we'll be able to find Danner
and Sean. We have to convince his work to fire him so he can be here to podcast.
But then we have to put up with him or support him. All right, we're out.
See ya.